Hi, welcome back to episode two. I'm Maddie,
And I'm Sarah.
and this is Nights in Room 614. So for episode two, we decided to tell like a few like ghost stories or just creepy things that have happened to us. And I personally believe in ghosts. I'm a very spiritual person, so I've had a few experiences with them, as Sarah can attest to.
Yes. And I'm not really sure about ghosts. I feel like there's no way. This universe is too big for us to be completely alone.
Exactly.
I also don't want to have an encounter with a ghost because I'm a wuss and I will be scared and will never be able to sleep for the rest of my life if something were to actually happen or if I were to see something supernatural. So I just try not to think about this stuff.
Okay, see, here's what I was taught when I was younger. My mom told me this, and she said, because she also believes in that stuff, she told me that if you believe in ghosts, they won't really like mess with you. Like, if you say you believe in them and you do, they won't mess with you. But if you say you don't, then they will to prove that they're real.
Okay. I should
So
start believing in them.
that's what I grew up like believing.
In my religion, ghosts aren't a thing, but there's a different thing that could be considered ghosts. They're called jinns. So it's like the idea is like genie from Aladdin, but not really. Like they got the idea of genie from those stories.
Oh, really?
It's a very like Arab thing, like very Muslim thing, but also how just some story turns into a different one, like the jinns and that we believe in, or I'm supposed to believe in, don't really do the whole wishes thing. That's like fiction, like you take some parts of something and then turn it into something else. So it's kind of like that, but yeah, I'll continue later.
So my first ghost encounter, and I remember it so clearly. It was so scary, especially I would think I was like 5 or 6. I was really young, and I was sleeping at like one of my best friends at the time. Like, I was sleeping at her house, and it was literally like kindergarten or first grade. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and we slept in her living room on the floor. I remember I woke up in the middle of the night and I just saw this random woman on her staircase, like in the middle of the staircase facing me. And it was like an elder woman. She had like a brown trench coat, black gloves, and like a brown hat that matched her coat. And she had like pigeons flying around her. And she was just like, "Get out. Like, you need to leave. Get out. Get out." And I know this sounds fake. Trust me, I know how fake this sounds. But I swear on my life, unless it was a dream, but it was so clear that, like, I don't think I would remember a dream this clearly, but it was so scary. And I literally made her mom drive me home. It was like the middle of the night. It had to be like 2, 3 a.m. And I made her drive me home. When I went home, I was terrified.
That's very scary. And like I said, if I saw that, I probably would not sleep for the rest of my
I literally was like, I need to. Like, I remember I think I woke my friend up and I was like, "Get your mom." And she was like, "What?" And I was like, "Get your mom." So she woke her mom up and I was like, "I need to go home. Like, take me home. Take me to my parents. I need to go home." And sure enough, she drove me home at like 3 a.m., which is like, thank God, because if someone tells you to get out, you're getting out.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever like talked to her about it, but like, it was just so scary. And ugh.
Yeah, that does sound scary. I especially as so young, I feel like that would
Right.
be a memory that would stay with me forever.
Like, there's no way that was a dream
Yeah.
because I don't think I would remember it so vividly. And I'm turning 20 in like 3 days. There's no way I'd remember it from when I was 5 that clearly.
Yeah, I don't have any memories from when I was five.
I think that's like one of like 3 memories I do have, so.
Okay, so I can elaborate on like gins because I just thought of that and I forgot that that was a thing. I try not to think about them. I'm Muslim, as we talked about before, I think, the last episode. And in my religion, there's spiritual beings called jinns. The name genie derives from that. So I guess they're supposed, I'm not educated to talk about any religious thing at all, but from what I've been told by my parents, they live on earth, but they live in a different dimension. So they're all around us. They have their families, they're like, but we can't see them. They try not to communicate with us. So there's good kinds and there's bad kinds, and like humans. Like, they have their own lives, they do their own thing. It's like they have their, they just live completely differently. Like, they don't eat the things that we do. They're also invisible, blah, blah, blah. They just live in a different dimension. And so, obviously, the evil ones are sometimes try to get to humans, like, mess with them since we can't really see them. So, I've heard a lot of stories growing up, like, okay, like evil ones, when it's like, I'm not sure if it's like true stuff or I was just told this so my mom didn't want me to go out at night. I was told like at nighttime they usually come out and they try to mess with people, the bad ones at least. And if you acknowledge their existence, they're probably not gonna like mess with you if you leave them alone. But obviously there's a few that want to mess with you, or like they are very scared of humans. Like they fear us because we're supposed to be, you know, the best kind of creation God has made or whatever. So they do fear us, people with black magic can control them and, you know, like do things, make them do things for them. So it's a lot of things for a child like me to process. Yeah. it was a lot at that time, and I was very scared of them. But again, I was always told that they're scared of us. They think like we have like free will and we can do whatever. So I guess that's about jinns. But when I was younger, I used to always hear that they occupy places that humans don't like really go to stay away from us, basically, like caves or like old homes or like things that usually you would think are haunted. Like if nobody lives there, there's probably jinns there. So when I was younger, we were moving, but I don't know how to explain this. Okay, let me think. Okay, so when I was young, we were moving, but within the same house. So it was a big apartment complex, kind of. But it was just like our family, and we were going from the second floor to the third, but of a different building, and it was still being made at that time. So we were just going to go to a completely different house, but it was within the same thing, like my parents were building it. So it was empty for a long time. Like a long time. It took like almost 3-4 years to build, like the foundation. Oh my God. Yeah, so the walls and stuff, they were ready, but because like we weren't ready to move yet, they didn't like do any of the painting jobs or any of that, because we were waiting for other stuff to happen. And the floor below that, my uncle used to live. So what my cousin would tell me when I would visit her is that they could hear walking upstairs late at night. They could hear footsteps, they could hear people, they could hear someone maybe like playing with a ball or like, you know, like marbles hitting the floor. And so I was terrified of moving into that house, like that apartment. Yeah. Kind of. So yeah, that was very scary. And they would say that all the time, like it was like someone was living upstairs, even though it's supposed to be completely empty because we haven't moved in yet. And obviously construction workers, they don't work late at night. So when we ended up moving into that apartment, I was very scared for a very long time, because I was like, oh my God, like there's probably jinns here, and I just moved in and it was their home and now it's my home, so they probably hate me. So yeah, that's that.
So my next ghost encounter, oh my God, it was terrifying. And then I got yelled at for it. So let me tell you. Okay, so my maternal grandfather and my cat died like within a week or 2 week span when I was younger. They died really close together. And so for a while after my grandfather died, me and my mom, we stayed with my grandmom just for her to like adjust or whatever. And I remember, so like I can't even describe the structure of the house. Like the structure of the house was so weird. So I'm going to try my best, but you're going to be confused. So there was a living room, and then there was a really big dining room, and in the dining room was a basement door, but it was like a sharp corner. It was like in the corner between the dining room and the living room.
Yeah.
So, and when you turn the corner to go in the basement, you can see directly into the kitchen. Like if you're coming from the living room, you can see from into the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I remember I like was going to go down the basement because my mom was cleaning the basement with my grandma, like cleaning out his stuff. And I turn the corner and for some reason I just happened to glance in the kitchen, and in the chair where he always sat was my grandfather, and my cat was like on the neck of the chair, like curled around his neck, and like my cat didn't live there, so like it wouldn't have been there. And I remember I got so freaked out. I screamed. I started crying. I ran downstairs and I told my mom, I was like, Grandpop's in the kitchen. Grandpop's in the kitchen. She like got mad at me and she started yelling at me. She was like, you're going to upset your grandmother. Like, don't say that. That's so mean. Why would you say that? And like, she's yelling at me. I'm like seven. And I'm like, no, he's in the kitchen with Socks. That was my cat's name. And she was like, stop it. Like, it was so scary. Like, imagine seeing your dead grandfather.
Yeah.
It was insane. And he was like, he was doing all the things he normally did. He was like smoking a cigarette. He was watching the TV. And I remember when I looked into the kitchen, we made eye contact and then I screamed. And so like, just like, oh, seeing it and then getting yelled at for it. And yeah. Like, I even brought it up to my mom like recently. And I was like, do you remember this happening? And she was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, do you remember yelling at me for it? And she was like, yeah, I do. And like my mom, again, I said before, she like believes in all this stuff too. And I think like his death was just so raw for her still that like it made her upset. But like, she was like, yeah, like just from my reaction, she could tell I actually did see something. And again, if you don't believe in any of this stuff, then I'm just going to sound crazy for the next like 30 minutes because I have a lot of experiences. But
I think if they actually willingly hear, like, listen to this podcast, they probably know what to expect.
Oh, I don't know, because I tell my friends all these stories and like some of my friends don't believe me. And I'm just like, why would I make this up? Why would I lie? I have so many stories. Why would I make this up?
All right. So I've had a few creepy things happen to me. One of them was right after we moved into that new apartment. It wasn't like an apartment. I don't know how to explain it because there's no houses like that in America. It's like it is a house, but
you should probably preface like that you're not from here.
Yeah, I am not from here. They're like, what is she talking about? So there's not a lot of houses like that in America, or I don't know if there's any. It is a house. You go in and then there's like a shared space of everybody who lives in that house, but everybody also has their own floor. So your floor is like an apartment. Like there's different rooms. There's a kitchen. There's like you have your own bathrooms and everything. And we used to share the house with my dad's family. So my grandma used to live with us and like my dad's brother. So it was a house, but we had our own floor. So if that makes sense. Anyways.
Yeah, I think
after
it does.
Yeah. So after we moved into our new apartment, one of the creepy things that happened to me was I don't even know if it actually happened because I was young. I don't know if I'm imagining it. I don't know if it happened to someone else and they told me and I just turned it into my own memory, because that happens a lot.
See, that's the thing with, like, supernatural stuff, because you're just, like, you start to think you're crazy. You're like, did this happen? Is it a dream? Did I hear this?
Yeah. So, I remember, like, I vividly remember, I, like, filled out a water bottle, and I used to sleep in my room. So, I went into my room, I put the water bottle down, and I closed the door. I had a bathroom attached to my room, so I didn't freshen up or anything, but I was getting ready to go to bed. And I remember, like, if you know me, I don't drink water. Like, I
don't. Yeah, she does not. There was, like, medical concerns at some point.
Yeah, there were stones forming inside my body because of lack of water.
She literally does not drink anything. It's terrible.
Anything but iced tea.
Yeah, it's only iced tea, which is like, and then I think I said something about iced tea and you were like, well, it's made of water. Like,
yeah. Okay, so I remember my mom was yelling at me because I don't drink enough water. So she filled out a full bottle of water for me, and I took it to my room so I could drink it in the middle of the night. And I put it on the side table next to my bed, and I looked at it, and I was like, okay, you know, water's done. I need to go get, like, brush my teeth. I'm, like, freshen up, and then I'm ready for bed. I go into the bathroom. I freshen up and everything. This whole time, my room is locked, like, because I was changing, too. Like, I changed in my room, and then I put the water down. I go to the bathroom. I come outside, and there's no water in the bottle.
Like, what? It's
empty. And I just sort of stood there like, no way. There's no. And this was right after we moved into, like, that new place too. So I was already terrified of going to the bathroom alone, sleeping alone, everything. My mom, like, I was really young. So now when I look back, my mom said I started sleeping with them again, like my parents, because I was so scared to sleep alone.
Oh,
because I would complain about, like, closets opening on their own. And yeah, so I don't remember this stuff actually happening, but she told me that I told her that this happened, and this is why I had to go sleep with them again.
Do they believe that stuff?
They make fun of me. They do believe in super. They do believe in jinns, like I said, but it's just like they thought I was making an excuse because I wanted to sleep with my mom again. Yeah. So I come outside and there's no water. So I just remember some details about it because I was young, and I just remember staring at the water bottle and being like, I probably didn't feel it. You know how you try to convince yourself that things don't actually happen, and then you start believing it. So for the longest time, I just thought that, and it couldn't have been like somebody came into my room and drank the water because the room was locked. It couldn't have been like, I would not. It's a big bottle. Like, I did not finish that water on my own. That's just
Sarah doesn't drink a drink of water.
Exactly. Like, if I don't have to, I don't drink water. So why would I do that? So yeah. So that was scary. And I still remember it very, very clearly. And for the longest time, I just convinced myself that I never actually got the water. So it was very confusing because for the longest time I confused that day with maybe some other day that my mom yelled at me to drink more water, and I brought in that water, and that was not the same day it happened. But yeah, that's that.
That's crazy that, like, you were complaining about, like, doors shutting. Do you think you would have lied about that, or do you think, like, it actually did happen?
So she said I did that, like, in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I would just come to her and say that the door is open, like the closet door open on its own, and she thinks it probably was the wind or something. I don't remember it actually happening, but I don't think I would lie about something like that. Maybe it was the wind and I saw it, or maybe I left it half open and it was just moving because of the air conditioning or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, either way, it's creepy, like,
very creepy.
So, this is a different house. This is my mom's apartment that she's currently in. Mm-hmm. And I, like, again, I'm very in tune to, like, spirits and just, like, energy and all that. I'm very in tune. You can ask my friends, like, they'll come to me and be like, did you feel something in my room? Like, again, this is going to sound like bullshit if you don't believe in it. So, don't make fun of me if you don't believe in it. But, so, in my room, I always joked about how there was a ghost in my room at my mom's apartment. because I would have things just go missing out of nowhere. And it wasn't my mom. My mom didn't move it. My brother didn't move it. They would go missing for like days or weeks at a time. And it would be at like times where I specifically needed it. Like a hairbrush would go, or no, not even a hairbrush, a comb would go missing because I only use a comb when I curl my hair. Mm-hmm. So comb would go missing when I needed it. And then it would just randomly show up in the most random place in the apartment. Like all my stuff was in my bedroom and my comb would like appear in the living room. And I
was like, was well, this why like, is my suddenly or was that something that happened in that house all the time?
Suddenly, like it just started probably like my senior year of high school.
Oh, okay.
Like it just happened out of nowhere that like things would go missing and would turn up randomly. So like that was like, I was like, oh, whatever, like my room's haunted, there's a ghost, blah, blah, blah. And then right before I moved out of my mom's apartment, because I live somewhere else now. So right before I moved out, it got really bad. It got so bad. Like, I can't even remember specifics because I truly believe, like, I blocked most of it out because of how terrified I was. But, like, I would be in my room at night and it would be when everybody was asleep and, like, my light would be off and I would just be, like, on my laptop watching Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. And my light would turn on. Out of nowhere, my light would turn on.
Oh, my God.
And my window, my bedroom window, had a curtain with, like, fairy lights on it. And when the lights moved, like, if, like, wind hit it, then it would, like, make noise. It would, like, twinkle, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was no air conditioning. It was dead winter. There's no air conditioning. The window's not open. And it's dark again. And all of a sudden, you just hear the, like, little twinkling noises. So I rushed out of bed. I turned my, like, light on. I FaceTimed my friend. And I ran to my living room. Like, I was a track star. Like, I sprinted. And she answers and she's like, what's wrong? I tell her and she was like, girl. And I had told her all the little stories before. So she was like, that's weird. And I think I took the phone back into my room because I had to. I was like, no, I'm not sleeping in here. So I went in to grab my stuff. And I'm pretty sure something else happened and she like saw it or something like that. Again, I like blocked most of it out. I was terrified. But I made her stay on FaceTime with me for like an hour, 2 hours. Like, I was so scared. And then, like, my mom waking up in the morning, she just sees me in the living room on the couch. She's like, what are you doing? But, like, there was just so much stuff that happened. And I wish I could remember. But it was to the point I literally went on Amazon. I bought holy water. I am not religious, but I bought holy water off of Amazon. I went on Etsy. I bought a protective crystal. I bought a negative energy cleansing candle. Like, I got the whole thing. When the holy water, yes, I not the holy water because like it got bad. I don't know how holy water goes bad, but it got bad. But I wear my crystal every day everywhere. Like I only take it off for the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Like because after I got all that gone, nothing else happened.
That's nice.
But oh, I remember something else. So when it all like when it first like started getting really bad, I pointed out to my mom, and she had incense, so she lit the incense in my room. And she leaves, and I'm sitting there, and I was like, why is it out? Like, incense burns for, like, a pretty long time.
Mm-hmm.
Not in 5 minutes, it's not out. And I was like, so I grabbed my mom, I'm like, look, it's out. And she was like, well, maybe it's the wind, because at that time it was summer, so my window was open. So I'm like, no, look. And she lights it again, and we watch it. We watch the incense. We don't move. We don't leave it. And you see it get blown out like someone's blowing on it.
Oh,
and
wow.
We're like, and, like, incense is supposed to be protecting.
Yeah.
So, like, that being able to, like, be blown out, I was like, that's a bad energy. Like, that's a bad spirit. So that's when I ordered everything. And when I got the holy water, I literally was, like, I dipped my finger in and I put crosses on every wall, every window, like, every mirror. Like, everything was crosses all over. Like, it was so scary. I think that's the most scared I've ever been from a spirit.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was.
Imagine.
Yes, it was deep, dark energy. I did not want to mess with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's scary stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I've heard most of the things that I have experienced are things that people have told me, because I have countless stories of, like, people telling me things that, like, especially, like, in my family or, like, friends and stuff, like, them telling me stories. I personally haven't had those experiences, but I was present during one as, I've been told, but I was a baby. I was probably like 2 or 3 years old, and my grandparents, so my mom's parents' house, they had a huge house. It's not like a regular like apartment or like even like a house. Like they had like property, so they had a lot of like free space around their house. And also back home, which is South Asia for me, it's very common to have help in your it's okay. I don't know how to people are gonna be like, oh, okay. So in South Asia, where I'm from, it's very common to have help or like maids in your house, because there's just a lot of people and they need jobs, and if you can employ them, it's good.
It's not the same as a maid in America.
Oh, 100% not.
Please specify that. Because when she first told me that, my jaw dropped. I was like, girl, you're rich. Like, why are we buying $2 milkshakes like every month?
Yeah, just to be clear, I am not rich at all. I am literally in debt here.
Aren't we all?
So, yeah. So back home, it was a different story. I lived a different lifestyle. I wasn't like sweet like of Zach and Cody. Nothing like that. It was just, I was comfortable. My parents had their own business. It was going really well. So yeah, I grew up in a nice house and everything. So my grandparents' house, my mom's, like my maternal grandparents' house, they had a huge house. You would have to walk to like the place where they did laundry. So you would have to leave the house and walk to a different place where the laundry stuff was. And they had a maid, and it was a night when we were visiting. So my family and I, we were all at their house, my uncles and aunts, they were all at my grandparents' house. I think it was like some kind of a family reunion. They were all watching TV. And this was a story that was told to me, by the way. Like, I was present there, but I was too young to remember anything. But I have several witnesses, my mom, my parents, everybody saw it happen. Apparently, the maid, it was not super late. It was probably like 9, 10 p.m. And the maid walked over to where the laundry quarters were. And she was doing her laundry. And it was a place where it's kind of shady. Like, it's dark. It's like, it's not like a room. I don't explain this. So it's not like...
Is it like a basement?
It looks like a basement, but it's like outside, not connected to the house. Like, you would have to leave the house to go there. And also, like, laundry, when I mean laundry, it's not like with machines. It's like hand washing.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had laundries like inside their house, but if they needed to like deep clean something, you would leave the house, go to a different place. It was like a room. It was connected to like the water system, and you would just do your laundry there. It's very hard to explain, and I also don't have pictures. But she went there, and after she came back, she was acting weird. She was in the kitchen helping whoever, and her hair was like all over the place. Like, she looked insane. She started arguing with people and just started yelling, and her eyes were apparently super red, and she had, according to my mother, superhuman strength. So she pushed one of the other maids, and so there was like a fight going on, and this was very out of character for her. Like, usually she wasn't like this at all. So when my parents, my mom and my grandfather, they went to inquire, she started yelling at them and screaming, speaking in a language they didn't know. And it was just overall very scary. Like, her hair was big. And she was just like, she looked like she wanted to fight with everyone. So, and
did she speak like other languages?
No.
Or like,
they don't even know if it was like, it sounded like gibberish, but so it was a very scary thing to see. But it was also a house filled with people, and you don't expect these things to happen. So after she came back, she was just like starting to fight with, she was just looking to start a fight. And my grandfather basically like went up to her and he was trying to like ask her like, what is going on? Like, why are you acting like this? And she smacked him across the face so hard he like fell to the floor. And according to him, she had superhuman strength. Like, she was strong. Like, this is a girl who is probably like what, 19 20, super skinny, like very like quiet, minds her own business, and then she's acting like this. So it's very scary. They also live in like the suburbs, so there's not a lot of things to do around there. Like, you would have to drive to a different place, just, or even a hospital. Just, it would be like a 10-15 minute drive from their house. Like, they live in the middle of nowhere, and so it was very scary for everyone. So everybody sort of, she looked like she wanted to like hit my mom too, so my mom kind of like ran, like got my grandfather, they all ran to a different part of the house. And they locked, everybody locked themselves inside the room because they didn't know what was going on. Like, she was just yelling and screaming and like doing things. And it's not even like she's not giving anyone a reason why she's doing this. She's speaking gibberish. So obviously my mom, like, she has her baby with her. Like, she's super scared, doesn't want anybody else to get smacked in the face. So they call a priest, and the priest takes a while to come. And this whole time, she's just walking outside while everybody else is locked inside her room.
Oh, my God.
Because nobody wanted to go outside. So my cousin says it was terrifying for him because he was a kid. Like, he's a couple of years older than me, so, but he remembers it very clearly. I probably should have talked to him and he would have given more details. But anyways, so after the priest came, they opened the door and they were like, okay, so we need to, like, somehow, like, tie her down or, like, do something because she's gone crazy. And with, like, everybody else, like, my uncle, they think, like, she's just gone, like, psychotic. Like, they don't think it's a ghost, but my mom is, like, convinced that something happened in the laundry room. She was there alone, late, 9, 10 p.m. Usually, it's, like, a very quiet area. You know, if you live in the suburbs, there's no one around, and you're, like, not with anybody else, and you go to a different part of the house, which is, like, a walk away, and then you come back like that. So, obviously, something triggered this. And the priest and everybody else sort of prayed and everything, and then she calmed down. And, like, she got fired the next day, but... like, they didn't want to deal with that anymore. And also, it was really scary because my grandfather, he kind of got like hurt a little bit, and he didn't want to, like, he obviously didn't want to have someone working for him who had smacked him. So it was very, the obvious choice was to let her go. And yeah, so she said she doesn't remember any of it. She just, like, they sort of just prayed and she calmed down. They locked her in a room and she was there for a few hours. The priest went back in and prayed some more. Yeah, and then she was fine. And she says she doesn't remember anything except going into that room that night.
So she doesn't remember?
She doesn't remember anything. She was completely fine after that. Like, literally, not. She so, did not remember. She just remembers walking to that place, and then the next thing she knows, she's in that room with the priest. So
she just, like, she was just fine after being prayed on.
Yeah. I think they locked her in a room for a little bit. Like, they found a way to seclude her in one place of the house while they called the priest. So they don't know if she calmed down on her own. They don't know what happened, but they sort of, like, there's like different doors. So they sort of like locked the door so she was stuck in one place inside the house. Not one room, but one side of the house, while everybody else was on the other side locked. And while my uncle called the priest, they sort of wanted her to be there. And when the priest came, he was the only one there. So they don't know what happened. The priest said he did the praying and she sort of calmed down. So it was scary. I'm so glad I was a baby. Scared. Yeah, I'm really scared that I'm really happy that I was a baby and I didn't have to witness that, because that would have scarred me for life. But my mom says it does happen, and I'm pretty sure, like, not everybody's gonna lie at the same time, because there's too many witnesses for that to happen.
Right, and you have a really big family.
Yeah. I personally think maybe she just had, like, a psychotic breakdown, and she just went crazy. But again, like the whole memory loss thing, the priest coming, the
right,
her not remembering anything. It's too convenient
if she just like
convenient. Yeah.
If she just like calmed down conveniently,
yeah, and when it wasn't came. It wasn't even like she was a new hire. She was working for them for a couple years, and nothing like that had happened before.
Girl, oh my god, that was like scary. Like
I know. I scared myself while telling that story. Like I try to bury these stories down in my memory, so I don't have to. She visits sometimes. Like it wasn't like things ended badly, but she obviously lost her job, and it was really sad. So sometimes she just visits. Like asks for donation and stuff, they give her that stuff and then she leaves. Like now she has a family and everything, and she didn't tell us if anything happened afterwards, but that night was scary.
Oh my god, could you imagine your grandparents are like, are you crazy or were you possessed? Like tell us the truth.
I know, right?
Oh my god. Okay, so my last story took place only a few months ago in October. Right now it's April. It was like right before Halloween. Like it was a few days before Halloween. So for a few weeks in October, I had been getting like really weird signals, I guess, from like about my grandfather, my paternal grandfather. He passed away a few weeks before my 16th birthday. And I was like really torn up about it. Whatever. It's years later. And for some reason, like he kept popping up in my life. Like, I kept seeing his name everywhere, and his name is Charles, so it is a common name, but, like, I never noticed it as much as I did in that time period, and he had, like, a very distinct scent. I can't even describe it to you. It was so distinct. I've never smelled it in my entire life, but he was a really big dog person. Like, if he saw a dog on the street, that's his dog now. Like, that's who he was, and I remember I would, like, go to my mom's house, and I'd be with my dog, and all of a sudden, I would smell my grandfather's smell. My dog was born way after he died. Never, like, it's my dad's dad, so why would he be at my mom's house? Like, it was so weird. Why is his scent there, you know? And, like, a lot of stuff happened, and then my breaking point was one day I'm sitting in the living room with my grandmom, and a knock is on the door, so we open the door. And it's a package. And my grandma goes, you'll never guess who the package is for. And I said, who? She said, it's addressed to your grandfather.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather died 4 years ago. Like, why are we getting a package? And he never lived at this house. Like, you would think that the package would go to, like, my aunt or my dad. But it came to my house. And he's never lived here. So, like, I don't know how the mail got his address. Mm-hmm. But a package comes in his name, and I'm like, okay, grandma. I run upstairs because I had been telling my mom all these like little coincidences. I run upstairs to my mom. I FaceTime her. I'm like, you'll never guess who I got a package for. And she's like, who? And I was like, grandpa. And she's like, oh my god. So in that moment, I go on Etsy, which I know isn't quite reliable, but it was an impulse decision.
Mm-hmm.
So I go on Etsy and I find a medium. If you don't know, a medium is someone who, like, can communicate with the dead. Yeah. You can ask them questions, and then they will ask the spirit questions and so on. So I got in contact with a medium, and it said it would take, like, a week. And I was like, that's fine. It was only $30. Like, I read reviews. They were like, she's trustworthy. But I was like, I'm not expecting much. It is Etsy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, like, I just have to wait a week. And it was, I think I booked her, like, Thursday or something. It was, like, Wednesday, Thursday. It was in the middle of the week. And I'm at my friend's house doing a photo shoot. I'm a photographer, if you didn't know. So I'm at my friend's house doing a photo shoot for class. And all of a sudden, I get an email. And it's this girl I booked on Etsy. And she goes, hey, Maddie, I know it says that you should wait a while, but I recorded your message already because I felt it was really important to you. I felt like you needed to hear this right away.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what? Like, it was a Sunday. It was only, like, 3 days after. I was like, why? What? I was, like, freaked out. So I literally, like, I had planned to listen to it alone. But after hearing, like, not hearing, but after reading those words, I was like, I need to listen to this right now. So me and her stopped the photo shoot, and I'm playing the audio. I still have the audio.
Wow.
she asked the questions I submitted in like the box when I booked her, and she's answering them, and I'm like, okay, like it makes sense, like everything she's saying correlates, but it could also be like her just like making stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
Like it was still like very easily like coerced. And then she asked one of the questions, and she chuckled. She goes, "Huh." And then she goes, "I'm so sorry. Like I don't usually use like foul language, but he says it's a hell of it." And I forget the question, I forget the answer, but I paused the audio and I turned to my friend. I was like, "He said that all the time." And yes, it's a common phrase, but why would she like? It's a common phrase, but why would she like? Yeah. Exactly. And like the fact she like doesn't normally say that kind of stuff in readings, I was like, oh my god. And she would like say specific details. She was like, he has been, because I think the first question I asked was he sending signs to me? And she said that he sends signs to all of my family all of the time. I was just the first to notice it. And then I was like, okay, well, like, that could easily be, again, it could easily be a lie. Like, I did go into this, like, I'll believe it and I won't. Like, I have to be open-minded either way. So, she's, like, going through, and then I forget the question. I forget, like, what made her talk about this, but my grandfather, he was like me. He didn't believe in religion. He didn't, he wasn't a believer of God. I think he was raised Catholic, but he didn't believe in it. That's how I am. And so, first of all, how'd she know that? Because she said that he said he didn't believe in God until he was standing in front of him. Like, you can't really, like, disregard God when you meet him. And I was like, how would she know that he wasn't a believer?
Yeah.
That's not common knowledge you can just Google, you know? Like,
yeah.
And then, like, do not get me wrong. Even though I heard that, I still do not believe in God. Like,
yeah,
I'm not pushing God. Trust me. But like, it was just crazy that like there were so many details she got right, and I was just like, "Girl, how do you know this?" And now, like, and she said that. I remember the best part, because so she was talking and going into detail about his afterlife, and one of the things me and my family had always worried about was how he died, because he lived alone. We did not even know he died until 2 weeks after his death. We got a letter from the police. So we don't know how he died. We don't know when, blah, blah, blah. So we always worried about like if he was like hurt when he died. So this medium goes into contact and she goes, "He wants to reassure you it was a peaceful death. Like he went and he was happy." And he said that, what did he say? He said that when he got to heaven, so-called, when he got to heaven, his whole family was there. And all of his family, like his brother, his mom, had already passed. And I was like, well, that makes sense, because how would she know that too? And she said that he was very excited because the first person he saw was his dad. And he wasn't expecting that because he didn't know his dad. And I was like, girl.
Oh my
God. How did you know? He, like, my grandfather did not know who his father was. I was like, how did you know that? Like, that's not knowledge you can Google.
Yeah.
That's like, what? And I, oh my God. Like, I was like, how did you know? Like, that's what sold me that I believed this girl and that I really put my $30 to Goodwill, because not Goodwill. like, how did she, like, it was just so many things that added up. And I was like, oh my God. Like, she knew. How did she know that he did not know his father? And it was just, it was crazy. But yeah, that was my medium story. And I still have the recording. Like, and she said that he, like, has a job kind of in heaven, so-called, where he, like, he's a greeter. Like, he aids people into getting into heaven. And he, like, checks up on me and my family. He's, like, in simple terms, he's, like, our guardian angels. So ever since this medium story, or this medium call, I had been looking out for little signs. And I'll be like, every once in a while, my grandma or my aunt will be like, oh, like, I randomly found this of my, like, my aunt will be like, oh, like, I randomly found this for my dad. And it's like a picture that no one has ever seen. Or even, or even last week, my grandma, I come downstairs in the morning, my grandma's like, I dreamt about your grandfather. And I was like, what? So, like, I'm always, like, constantly looking out for
Looking
these
over
little
you.
signs. Right, like, and she even said, she was like, if you ever have, like, a favor, like, ask him. And, like, I do. I'm like, yo, can you make this happen? And then sometimes it does. I'm not even gonna lie. Sometimes it really does help. So maybe it's, like, the placebo effect, but I don't know. I really believe in all that.
Yeah, it's nice to believe in things like that.
It's reassuring.
Yeah, it is. So the dorm that we used to live in, it was suite style, and it was actually completed, like, the construction was done in 1931. So it's old. It's old. Like, I remember when I first moved in, none of my friends on campus knew where it was because they lived in all these, like, really nice new buildings. And my friend, she just said, oh, I thought that was a haunted building. Because it does look like one. It looks very old. It was like...
It's so old, it has a ballroom.
Yes. It has a ballroom with a piano, which is kind of scary at night. I've never been there super late at night. But
it's literally just an empty ballroom with a painting and a piano. It's so creepy.
And it's like painting from, like, olden days, too. Like, one of those paintings. And did you know that there was a fire in 1991? Yes, 1991, they had to shut down the entire building because there was a fire that gutted the entire 10th floor. Obviously, they're not going to tell us if anybody died because that's not going to be good for the reputation.
Oh, my God.
But I did some digging, and there was a fire. It was pretty much closed for a whole decade before they sort of redid some of the insides and then opened it up again. So we wouldn't be wrong if it was haunted. When I first moved in, it was very creepy at night. Like, I was alone in my room before Maddie moved in, and it just gave you that vibe. Like, sometimes the heater would just stop working. Not sure if it's our school's fault or the building, but the heater would just stop working. Sometime there was, I don't remember if it was with you or my friend, but this one time I tried to take, like, open the heater, like, the top thing, for hours. Me and her, like, we sat down, we were like, we need to lower the temperature, but we can't because this room is so cold, but we can't lower, I mean, no, wait, we can't increase the temperature, but it won't open. And as soon as you come home at, like, nighttime when my friend left, it just opened. I don't remember if you
I do remember that.
It just opened, and I was like, there's no way. We were there for so long trying to get it to open, but it just wouldn't open. But yeah, there was just the lights were super creepy. I had the lights changed after I came in. Had to clean the other things because it was just really, it was just giving me bad vibes. Yeah, so do you want to talk about how your poster kept falling?
Okay, so there would be weekends where I would go home, and there would be weekends where Sarah went home, and for whatever reason, conveniently, maybe it's convenience, or maybe there is a ghost. And so if I went home for the weekend and Sarah stayed, my posters on my wall would fall down, and it wouldn't just, like, fall, it would, like, slide down to the middle of the floor close to Sarah's side.
Yeah.
Like, it was insane. And then
I have videos of that.
And then when Sarah would go home and I would stay, I hated when Sarah went home. It was so creepy because, again, we said this in the last episode, our roommates went home every weekend. So, like, that meant I was alone in this giant apartment, and we had already theorized that it was haunted. So I was like, I don't like this. I hated when Sarah went home. So she would go home. I'd stayed. Her posters would fall down. And, like, she had these, like, canvases. So, like, canvases are, like, once you get them up and they're sturdy, they don't usually fall unless you hit them. And her canvases would fall only when she went home.
I know.
It was so creepy. And then I remember the one time, I think I got it on video. I don't have it
saved.
Yeah,
you did. I think, but I screen recorded it, but I'm not sure where it is.
Right. I noticed that the one canvas was just, like, moving back and forth. And I was like, let me record this. And then I'm recording it, and it's going back and forth, and then it falls. And then that night, so like we were given desk and like chairs, and for some god awful reason they gave me like a rocking chair for my desk. And that night I remember I'm in my bed, I'm watching Netflix or YouTube or whatever I'm doing, and out of the corner of my eye I just see the chair rocking unprovoked. Ugh, I hate that. I hate that. Oh, I still ugh.
And it's not like it would be the wind, because the wind doesn't, like, the canvas can't move because of the wind. Like, there's no way. Canvas is, like, literally the opposite side of the wall.
Right. And our window didn't open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So, like, the only thing that would happen is air conditioning. And the air conditioning was right next to my bed. Like, it wouldn't have affected hers at all.
Yeah. Facing upwards, not even sideways.
Yeah. So, like, it would not have affected her stuff at all. And then the rocking chair moved, and I hated it. I tried my best to go home when Sarah went home. But yeah. it was weird because I've said, like, again, I already said this, but, like, I can usually sense stuff, and that was the only place where I didn't sense anything and things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can usually, like, even my best friend, like, I told her, like, a couple weeks ago, I was like, girl, like, I feel something in her basement. And, like, she has had stuff happen, but I'm like, yeah, like, I feel stuff. But, like, I never could feel anything in our dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was just crazy. Like, even today, I'm like, I still, like, question. I'm like, was there actually something? But, like, all those things just, like, they don't add up.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember being at home and getting this, like, a Snapchat from you. And I'm like, oh, what is it? And it's a video. And I open it, and it's just you looking really scared. And you turn the camera, and my canvas is just going crazy, like, moving. And then it fell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I guess I'm not going back.
Oh yeah, just leave me.
Like, it was really scary.
I can literally tell you like what I would do when you would like leave. Like I hated it. I would, because like when we were both in the room, like we slept in dark, we didn't have like TV or anything. When you went home, I would have the big light on, like the overhead light. I would have my fairy lights on, I would have my Christmas lights on, and I had my laptop next to my bed with like a running show on all night.
Same,
like
I was the same. I would just watch Netflix until I couldn't open my eyes anymore.
Mm-hmm. I hated it. Oh my god, it was so creepy. That's why I don't think I could ever like live completely alone. I don't know, being alone at night.
It's really scary. I'm kind of scared. That's why I low-key want a roommate even when I move to campus again. I'm like, I can't like sleep in a room alone. And if she goes home, I'm going home.
Yeah. And then we, like, stupidly downloaded, like, a ghost tracking app. And, like, I don't believe in them. I don't believe in the ghost finding apps. But we did it just to, like, see. It was just a fun
experience.
Yeah. And we did it on, like, a school night. That was the worst part. We did it on a school night. So we're going around the room. I have the video. We're going around the room. And we're, like, moving the phone throughout, like, we're doing, like, my bed, my poster, Sarah's bed, her posters, like, everything. And we get to Sarah's bed, and, like, a face pops up. So we scream.
I dropped your phone.
In the video, you see, like, the phone fly. Like, it was scary, because it just popped out of nowhere. Yeah. And so that happened. And then, like, the next day, I think our one sweet mate, like, asked you why we were screaming.
Yes.
Like, that's so embarrassing to be like, oh, we downloaded a ghost, like, tracking app.
That was so much fun, but also super scary. Because after that, like, every time you would go home, oh, my God, your poster would just, like, you know when things fall, they just fall. But your poster would fall and then slide.
It would slide.
All the way to next to my bed. And I have it on video, and my friend and I would just stare at it like, what the hell is this? I would always make my friend stay over. Literally. When I was alone. It was scary.
I would, like, have my friend stay. Because, like, she lived in the dorm building next door. So she was like, I'm not going to stay here, like, overnight. But, like, I would make her stay as long as she could before she would go back to her room. Because I did not want to be alone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was alone in that room for so long after everything.
I can't imagine.
It was scary.
I cannot imagine being alone, like, for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, like, such an eerie feeling. Like, eerie feeling being alone.
Yeah.
In that room. It was, ugh.
It didn't feel like you were alone. That's the
mm-mm.
It was like, okay, there's something.
It was creepy. It's what we get for getting like the oldest building.
I know. I didn't know when we were signing it for.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening to episode 2. Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Room614 Podcast.
Okay. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify, which is just Nights in Room 614. Also follow us on our personal Instagrams. Mine is at Sarah Sauda and Maddie's is at Maddie Coates.
And we are also available on streaming platforms such as Anchor and Google Play. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, thank you. We will see you the next time.